Welcome to Between Life and Money, Finding Balance with Jeffrey Panik from Balance Wealth Partners. In this space, we're keeping it real about money, unraveling the intricacies of spending and investing, and making it all about you. Dive into the journey of striking the perfect balance between enjoying the now and preparing for what's next. Money talk might seem complex, but we're here to simplify it. Join us as we, along with experienced guests, are planning for more than retirement. We are planning for life.
And welcome to the Between Life and Money podcast with your host, Jeff Panik. Jeff, good to be with you again.
Good to be with you, Bill.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about today's topic. Well, maybe not excited, but I understand today's topic because this has been a debate that I've gone through a couple of times in my life. The debate of whether you should buy or lease my next vehicle. So I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this discussion.
It's always a great question. And I think, you know, after you figure out whether you're going to buy or lease, what is the process from there? You know, whether you buy or lease, you know, you have to kind of go through what I would call, it would be kind of like a labyrinth between the dealership and trying to figure out the different varying pieces of the process. But it's really a matter of trying to figure out a process where you can try to get the best value without really getting ripped off. And, you know, Capital One Auto Navigator did a study a year or two ago, and it came out that only 26% of Americans feel confident when car shopping. You know, I would probably argue that probably is, most people would expect that to be even lower.
I think some of those are lying.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's, you know, and part of it is kind of like we talked about in certain other circumstances, you know, even though you have the internet, there's a plethora of information, you know, how do you really sort through that and really determine where the helpful material is versus information that really just gets you more confused? And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today. And I would argue in certain situations, I think in the auto industry, in some cases, has made it more confusing just because in a lot of cases, you can end up overpaying, you know, which is in some cases often the rule rather than the exception. And, you know, what we want to try to do is provide some guidance here on some various approaches to better handle the buying experience and process.
Oh, great. Because, I mean, you know, it's interesting. Car dealers or car salesmen are constantly ranked down at the bottom among congressmen in terms of people we trust. So it does get confusing. And it gets weird when you go into a dealership and you're not sure, you know, and you're not sure about which car. And it does. It becomes a confusing decision at the very best.
It does. And one of the things we're going to talk about today is just how to get ahead of that. And so the last thing you want to do is really go into the dealership not knowing what in the world you want. Yep. Because you won't get up, you know, it's like a round hole square peg analogy. You're going to end up with something you probably about 6 months or a year from now probably regret. And the obvious question, even getting back to what we started talking about, is, you know, whether you should buy or lease, you know, and like a lot of things dealing with finance, it really comes down to a reflection of your personal situation. And going back to kind of the studies and everything else, you know, CBS MarketWatch did a study saying, you know, currently there's about 19% of the vehicles that are out there that are currently being leased versus, you know, in 2019, it was significantly higher. You know, it was around 34%, you know, back then. So it's actually come down. And I, you know, we can talk about some of the reasons for that. But, you know, probably before we start that, you know, a lot of questions, you know, it's to buy something is relatively, well, not relatively easy given the process, but it's a little bit sometimes easier understanding what a lease even is.
And yeah, well, I understand when I buy something, I own it.
Yes.
You know, leasing has always been one of those weird things. So maybe you could start with what is leasing anyway, Jeff?
It kind of is similar if you rent an apartment, basically, where, you know, you have to put down a down payment. Typically, that's going to be a month or two of whatever your monthly payment is, sometimes even more. In some cases, it could be $2,000 to $6,000. And then, you know, typically, you're going to be renting the vehicle from the dealer typically between about 24 and 42 months. And, you know, the benefit and why people do this in certain situations is if your credit is right, you typically can get a lower payment than what you're buying a car for. But the reason why you can get a lower payment is you're just simply renting it. You know, there's no equity on the back end. And at some point, you're going to have to hand the car back off and then start the process all over again.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that I have leased a vehicle before, and one of the things that kind of caused me a little bit of anxiety, not crushing anxiety, was the mileage limitations. Yes. On a lease vehicle.
Yeah. And you know, you really, really want to make sure you understand how much you'll be driving before you ever consider a lease. You know, typically you're going to see between about 7,500 miles and about 15,000 a year that you would get. So what ends up happening is, you know, you don't drive it in every year and they count it. It's right. Basically an aggregate of the total. So, you know, if you get 10,000 miles a year and you have a 3-year lease, you know, it's 30,000. So if you put more than 30,000 miles on, you know, you can expect to start paying after that per mile. And
those costs can be pretty significant too.
They can be, and they really add up. And so really you want to be very mindful of that. You also want to look at the contract to even understand, you know, somewhere in the fine print, how much it is for every mile that you go over. There's also factors of wear and tear and damage. You want to make sure that just normal wear and tear isn't going to count against you when you turn the vehicle in. And in some cases, you may have a vehicle that needs new tires. They may want to charge you for the tires when you turn in the vehicle, and that could be at substantial cost. And, you know, especially if you're turning it into the dealer and then going somewhere else and buying something else or leasing, you know, they really have no interest at that point in helping you.
I think some lease vehicle plans come with some maintenance built into them, right?
They do. So you can pay for the maintenance package, but you want to be careful with that, especially if you put on very low miles, because sometimes you'll pay for an extra you'll pay for an extra service where you don't even need it. And so, you know, you really want to weigh and understand, you know, how much you're going to be using the vehicle. And really, I always say if it makes sense for someone to lease a vehicle, typically they're going to be someone that wants a new vehicle every few years. They don't care about ownership, and they're always okay about having a car payment. You know, that would be a candidate for a lease. And, you know, if you're okay with always having a car payment, you know, which people could argue really against, you know, that would really be someone that would be looking at it. You know, typically, you know, purchasing is usually going to be a better option, especially now that vehicles have become more reliable and you can drive them for a lot longer. You know, and kind of like we talked about before, you know, if you lease a vehicle, you know, you have a certain amount of uncertainty, whether it's, you know, with the wear and tear, the damage, the amount you have to put down. And then what do you do when you turn it in? And, you know, as you know, whether it's 3 or 4 years or, you know, 2 years, time goes by very quickly. And the next thing you'll know, you'll be putting more money down and you'll be trying to figure out what in the world you're going to buy at that point.
Right. Well, I know that when one of the considerations that went into the time we leased a vehicle was it was like, okay, we unexpectedly had lost a car. It had been totaled in an accident. And we were like, payments were a problem. So leasing became an option because it was we couldn't afford to buy a car.
Yes. And you want to make sure, you know, when you're looking at leasing, you know, you can go to the dealer websites and they'll have what the lease payment is, but you really want to make sure you have good or, you know, excellent credit, because if you don't, it's going to be significantly higher than that.
Really?
And you know, that gets back into understanding what your credit is, you know, before you start the process. And, you know, it's also kind of the next point I would make, you know, whether you're looking to buy or lease, you really want to understand how much you can afford. That's really the first step in the process. You know, by understanding how much you can pay monthly and you can put down, you know, that you can comfortably afford, it will allow you to find a vehicle that meets your needs as well as fits your budget. And, you know, that's extremely important because, you know, if you get stretched, you know, you start adding some credit card debt, you start, you know, maybe missing a payment here or there, and it can put you in a spiral down the road. There are numerous online calculators that you can look at to gauge the affordability, meaning that you can put in what you make, what your other expenses are, and the calculators will come up and say what is realistic as a monthly car payment. And, you know, I even have a car affordability on my website, a calculator. And, you know, the one other thing I'll say that often escapes everyone when they're looking at the vehicle, or a lot of people, is you don't want to forget the total cost of the vehicle. And what I mean by total cost is, you know, really the insurance, you know, which a lot of times is an afterthought. But really, you want to understand, and you want to find an independent agent. And if you're looking, once you, you know, get down to whatever make and model you want, or a few, you want to reach out to the independent agent and see how much the insurance is going to be on the vehicle. You know, and typically, the younger you are, the more risk there is. So typically, the cost is going to be more. So, you know, in some cases, you know, we're seeing increases, even if you have a good record, in the case of 30%. So, wow. You know, when you're looking at, you know, what your payment may be, you definitely want to factor the insurance cost in there, because if you don't, you're going to be in for a real surprise after the fact. And, you know, not only the insurance payment, but also, you mentioned maintenance before, you know, if it's a BMW or Mercedes, you know, obviously you can expect a higher maintenance cost than you would typically with a Ford, you know, or a Lincoln or something like that. And you also want to factor wear and tear on tires as well as gas. You know, you want to certainly factor that in the total expense. And then you want to work backwards from there. And, you know, by backwards, I mean, you know what you can pay. So it makes it a lot easier to figure out what you should have.
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to go back to the insurance thing for 1 second. So your insurance costs can be higher if you're leasing a vehicle versus owning a vehicle?
They can be. It's really dependent upon the vehicle. It's more of an issue of your age. And really what you see is really on because the insurance companies gauge risk, you know, and they put together the cost based upon the history. And, you know, the younger you are, unfortunately, you know, the greater likelihood you are to have an accident. And that's just kind of the way the research and the studies show, as well as even, you know, individuals in their late 60s, 70s can expect to pay more as well. And, you know, in some instances, the insurance companies will even look at the amount of miles you drive to really gauge what the cost is. So, you know, by having an independent agent that could go out and shop the policy for you, it will allow you, you know, really, once you understand a couple makes and models that you're thinking about, you know, you could have a really, you know, a big spread in cost between one vehicle versus the other.
All right. So now we figured out what we can afford to pay.
Correct.
So here's the question. Here's my question. I mean, that certainly helps narrow the search. I can't afford a really expensive luxury vehicle. I now know that. But how else do you narrow the search, Jeff? Yeah.
So you know, I remember years ago when you would have to go into the bookstore or library, and you could go in and look at a book or a magazine, and it would have all the information in there. You know, you can still do that, but you know, with the internet, taking advantage of that is a great amount of leverage. And there are sites like consumerreports.com, edmunds.com, and kbb.com. You know, those are just a couple of the sites that you can visit. They're independent, and you can put in, you know, what you can reasonably afford. And from that, you can narrow down your search of vehicles. And, you know, really what that allows you to do is really look and say, well, you know, if I can afford $500, $700 a month, these are the vehicles that are, you know, in place that I could really look at. And then you can review their reliability, performance, and, you know, you can even come up with a total cost estimate, you know, and a lot of the websites will even let you put in your zip code or area, and it will come up with the total cost from where you live. You know, the other piece I always tell people, you know, you want to buy the vehicle based upon what you're going to use it for. And so, in other words, the best example I have of that is, if you're a contractor, as an example, and you carry equipment around, a small two-door coupe probably isn't the best for you. You know, you're going to need some storage space, and that's just not going to be a fit. You know, conversely, you know, if you're going to drive a long distance, fuel efficiency is going to really need to be a key consideration for you. And that's, you know, that's really a couple of the things that really to look at from really coming up with a strategy to find something that is really affordable for you.
so much for listening to Between Life and Money, Finding Balance. We hope you're enjoying it so far. If you have any questions or would like to talk more about this topic, you can find us at www.balancewealthpartners.com and through all our social media platforms that are listed in the show notes.
Well, yeah, you know, you raised a question in my mind, and I know you're not an accountant, but it's a tax question. Should someone who's deciding, oh, you know what, I need this truck. Let's just stay with that example. I need this truck for my contracting business. Is it potentially the cost of the vehicle lease? Is that potentially a tax write-off? Is that a business cost that that can help you out?
It's possible, but it goes back to the fact of using professionals and really going to your accountant. If you're self-employed, you know, if you're getting money coming in from a bunch of different sources, certainly good to have an accountant. You know, they can kind of help you map out what the best strategy for you, you know, typically what the best thing for you. And, you know, it really depends upon the year, what you're looking to try to do. You know, obviously with Congress and, you know, the way the laws are and the tax changes, you know, you can kind of get whipsawed around. So, you know, that's the one thing that, you know, we can look at vehicles, you know, through Consumer Reports and all these different websites and everything, and you can really come down to one that really fits. But kind of like I mentioned with a contractor analogy, you want to make sure that you get the most, the most leverage out of whatever you're buying and makes sense for you. And one of the things, as you mentioned, it's a good point. You want to talk to your accountant to make sure there's any advantage between a lease purchase, or if there's a certain, you know, in the case of a contractor, you know, if you buy a certain vehicle above a certain weight, is that a benefit? You know, there's all kinds of things that are out there that are in the tax code that, you know, the accountants understand, while, you know, most people could kind of just, you know, their eyes roll to the back of their head.
Been there, done that.
And so, you know, really the next thing we want to talk about, now that you've narrowed your search down to a couple makes and models, how do you find the vehicle? You know, and really what you want to do is do a dealer search in your area typically. You know, and I use the example in the case of Ford, and it could be any of the others, GM, Buick. You know, what you could do is go to their corporate website, and what you can do is do a dealer search by zip code or your city, and you can find a dealership in your area. And the purpose of that is, you know, you want to find a place where you can go that is convenient for you, because if you buy the vehicle at a specific dealership, you know, it's not a bad idea to get it serviced and have a relationship there, you know, that you can build over time. You know, the other thing I also say, you know, if you pick a vehicle and you have family and friends, you know, sometimes they'll have similar vehicles and they may have some suggestions of different dealerships where they've had good experiences and conversely bad experiences. So it's always good to get feedback from other people. And really, you know, once you decide on a dealership or two, you know, I always tell people the best thing you could ever do is schedule an appointment. You never want to just go in blind. And, you know, you want to schedule an appointment and you want it for a test drive. And really, I'm going to break down really five pointers that I would suggest. You know, there's certainly more. And, you know, you could go into deeper detail or dig in further with a lot of these. But really, you know, the biggest thing is, and you can understand this, you never want to schedule at a busy time, such as on the weekends, you know, because what's going to end up happening is there's going to be a lot of people there, and you're more than likely not going to get the attention from the salesperson that you really need, or they're really going to be, unfortunately, pushy, and they're going to want to try to push you into something that's probably not the right thing for you.
You know, I have to tell you, I've got to interrupt you to add an amen to that, because the difference between a dealership on a Saturday and on a Tuesday afternoon is night and day.
Exactly. And I mean, anytime you're looking at something that, especially with ownership or even leasing, you want to just make sure you have time to kind of think through it. You know, you understand, you know, what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. And when you're getting rushed through the process, that's not good for anyone. You know, the second, and I think this is especially true with used vehicles, and extremely important, is to make sure you schedule the visit during daylight hours. You know, it's easy to miss an issue with an exterior of the vehicle. And, you know, that's why I get into the issue of used vehicles. You just want to make sure you have a clear day. You're not in a situation where it's raining and you're running in and out, or it's at night where you can't really see kind of the vehicle, because that just creates its own set of issues and problems. The third, and I think this is important throughout the process, is really you want to bring someone with you. You want to make sure you bring someone who has been through the purchasing process experience before. Mm-hmm. And if you can have someone that has, you know, has bought two or three vehicles or understands the process, you know, it'll make everything go a lot smoother and it will make sure that you don't miss something or you sign something that you really regret. The fourth.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point because I had a friend come with me and it was great because maybe, Jeff, because it's a lot harder to intimidate two yes. people as opposed to yeah. intimidate one person. So it's a nice, it is like having an ally with you.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like anything else, you know, you can understand whether it's a home buying process, car buying, dating or anything. Anytime you're rushed with things, you usually don't make yes. good decisions. And that's especially the case with vehicles. And that gets to point four. You never buy, you know, or make a buying decision on the first visit. That's the worst thing that you can possibly do. It's better to go back. You have a lot more leverage and negotiation by going back versus just making a decision right away, you know, and mm-hmm. being there for 4 or 5 hours. You know, it's kind of like I say, the longer you're there, the more you get under their spell, which yeah. is what you don't want in terms of the buying experience. The fifth point, which a lot of people don't always realize, you know, then this is in particular the case for a used vehicle. You always want to get an independent inspection to make sure you don't get a surprise later. Typically, the dealership or the person that's selling it to you should allow you to take it, or they could even go with you to a place that you found that can do an independent inspection. You obviously have to pay for it. The purpose of it is to make sure everything is kosher and make sure everything works from the standpoint that the the Carfax and the reports that you run and everything are accurate, and you're not going to get a surprise when you drive off and you know you start having problems after about 100 miles.
Yeah. Wow, that's a really, really good point. I have a mechanic that I've used for my used cars over the years, and I would take a car to him and have in fact taken cars to him in the past and said, "Will you look this over?" And I paid him for it. Then you know, tell me what you think. And it saved me some headaches on occasion. It saved me some headaches, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's just very important when you're dealing with used vehicles to make sure that you're not missing something. And you want, you know, full transparency, as well as you want to take your time with it, like we spoke about before.
Yeah.
The final point that I would make is, you know, you don't want to be afraid to put one dealership against the other, and really the devil's in the details. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you're in your area, if you're in a metro area, or even if you're not in a metro area, you can find dealerships that are probably about 45 to 60 miles away. You know, typically in a metro area, you could find 4 or 5 dealerships that sell the same vehicle. Well, you know, just because you go to one dealership doesn't mean that they're all offering the same deal. And in some cases, you can save thousands by just shopping and sending an email to the different dealerships and saying, you know, this is what exactly that I'm looking for. You can even give them the VIN number. That's like the social security of the vehicle that you're looking at. Yeah. And they could always move that vehicle to their dealership, but they can give you an estimate as well of what they would, charge you or sell it for. And like I mentioned, in some cases, just by sending a few emails, you can save thousands of dollars. And, you know, it really goes a little legwork really goes a long way in the car buying process.
So basically, don't rush into it. Which you should never rush into anything. Right?
No, they say it's like the movie Fools Rush In. And that's really the case really with car buying. You know, the more time you have, the more ability and more leverage it gives you. Again, you know, the quicker you make a decision and the more, you know, I would frankly say desperate or the more interested you appear, the less of a deal you're going to get.
Wow. That's good advice.
Yeah.
Good advice.
And then the other piece of it is, you know, obviously once you make your final decision and you go, you know, to the process of the finance department, you really want to have, again, getting into a second pair of eyes, you know, someone that has experience buying vehicles, in particular, if you know someone that has, you know, that has experience with contracts, it's really helpful, you know, to look at the contract, in detail so that you don't miss something. And you always, always want to question added cost, and you want to be careful and cautious, you know, given certain warranties that they want to add, which, you know, in some cases can add significant cost and really provide little benefit.
Boy, I want to give a big, giant amen to that, because my most unpleasant experiences in car dealerships have to do with the finance manager yes. guy who wants to add all kinds of things onto it. And if you and I just want to underscore Jeff's point, if you are not sure what you're doing, there's no crime in not being sure what you're doing, okay? There is none. Take somebody with you.
And you know, and I get back to the fact of just shopping, you know, even we always say shop different vehicles. Well, once you find a vehicle, you want to shop that vehicle with a bunch of different dealerships that sell the same vehicle. Because, I mean, I had a client where they literally saved about $5,000 just by sending the build via email to four or five of the other dealerships. And you really get it can get you upset because you really realize how much you're getting ripped off in certain situations.
Wow. Great. Well, you want to wrap this baby up here,
sure.
Jeff?
Sure. So the main thing, the main points here are you always want to understand what you can spend and afford on a monthly basis. That is the foundation of the buying process, because if you don't understand how much you can afford to pay, you're really just wasting your time. You also, once you understand how much you can afford to pay, you want to utilize the advantages of the internet. And you want to focus on independent vehicle review sites. And I mentioned ConsumerReports.com, Edmunds.com, and a KBB, which is KellyBlueBook.com.
Yep.
Really, those sites are independent, and you can really get to understand, you know, for your situation, whether you're, you know, a contractor carrying around equipment or someone that needs to drive 150 miles a day, you know, what vehicle really makes the most sense for you. And then, you know, once you get in the dealership and you start looking at the vehicles, always bring a trusted family or friend with you for the process.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. I know that you have some research available and some guides available on your website. Tell us about those, Joe.
Yeah, so I have a car affordability and budgeting calculator on my website, you know, which can be helpful with the process. And as I mentioned, you really want to factor the total cost of the vehicle, which the site allows. And it doesn't hurt to use two or three different calculators, really, to give you an idea of which one you're most comfortable with. Mm-hmm. The main thing, though, is, as I mentioned before, you want to know how much you can afford before you start so you don't stretch it. And, you know, I look at student loans, you know, they're at about $1.6 trillion or more right now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, auto loans have hit that point as well, you know, where they're right around $1.6 trillion. And, you know, I've said before, you know, they call the U.S. economy the consumer-led economy. You know, unfortunately, it's being led by a lot of people adding debt that they shouldn't have.
No kidding. No kidding. Wow. So how can people get a hold of you, Jeff? What's the best way? They can go to your website. I understand.
Website. You can also call me. My phone number's on there, as well as you can email me with questions, and I'll get back to you in a timely manner.
Great. And all this information is available in the show notes for those of you who are maybe driving a car right now and can't write it down and worried about forgetting about it. So relax. They're there. Thanks, Jeff. Really appreciate it. It's a question lots and lots of people have gone through and go through all of the time. It's good to have your insight on it. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
And listeners, thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you're not a subscriber already, that's easy. Hit the subscribe button. That way you won't miss another podcast, because every time Jeff puts out a new edition, you'll be notified and you can listen. If you like the podcast, if you find it helpful and useful, we'd ask that you tell people about it and help spread the word about the podcast and get the word out to more people. Thank you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Bill Tucker on behalf of Jeff and everybody at Balance of Wealth Partners. Thank you. And remember, you can go out today and make it a great day or not. It is your choice. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Between Life and Money, Finding Balance. Visit our website at balancewealthpartners.com. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Content here is for illustrative purposes and general information only. It is not legal, tax, or individualized financial advice, nor is it a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold any specific security or engage in any specific trading strategy. Results will vary. Past performance is no indication of future results or success. Market conditions change continuously. This commentary reflects the personal opinions, viewpoints, and analyses of Jeffrey Panik. It does not necessarily represent those of RFG Advisory, private client services, their clients, or their employees. This commentary should not be regarded as a description of advisory services provided by RFG Advisory or performance returns of any client. The views reflected in the commentary are subject to change at any time without notice. Securities offered by registered representatives of private client services, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered by investment advisory representatives of RFG Advisory, a registered investment advisor. Private client services, Balance Wealth Partners, and RFG Advisory are unaffiliated entities. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where RFG Advisory and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advisory services may be rendered by RFG Advisory unless a client agreement is in place.